على من لا نبي بعده ولا أمة بعد أمته ولا كتاب بعد كتابه ولا شريعة بعد شريعته. أما بعد، فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. لا تحرك به لسانك لتعجل به، إن علينا جمعه وقرآنه، فإذا قرأناه فاتبع قرآنه ثم إن علينا بيانه. صدق الله العظيم. My dear respected elders and brothers, as we move swiftly closer to the month of Ramadan, it is important that we mentally attune ourselves and mentally prepare ourselves for the month of Ramadan, so that we would be able to benefit from the month of Ramadan. Now, one of the things that is attached, maybe indirectly, to the month of Ramadan is the Quran Majid. And the reason why it is attached to the month of Ramadan, because Allah Ta'ala says in the Holy Quran, شَهْرُ رَمَضَانَ الَّذِي أُنزِلَ فِيهِ الْقُرْآنِ. It is in the month of Ramadan that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has revealed the Quran. That Quran which is a distinguishing mark between truth and falsehood. So Allah Ta'ala specifically says that Allah has revealed the Quran in the month of Ramadan. And that is the reason why our beloved Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to revise the Quran in Ramadan with Hazrat Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam. And the year prior to his death, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam made two khatams of the Quran with Hazrat Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam. It shows that our attachment to the Holy Quran should increase in the month of Ramadan. The Quran as a kalam of Allah, as a speech of Allah Ta'ala, is unsurpassable in every one of its aspects. Every aspect that you take with regard to the Quran, you know, it is unsurpassable. Whether it be its beautiful rhythm, whether it be its captivating charm when you read or you listen to it. Anyone who was here last night when he heard Qari Shatri reading with the sweetness that he normally possesses, you can identify with that. There's a captivating charm in reciting and listening to the Holy Quran. But it is not only that. In its substance and its message that Allah Ta'ala wishes to give to humanity till the day of Qiyamah. Now, of course, when we speak about the Quran, there are so many aspects. In the little time, we can cover all the beautiful aspects of the Quran. But I would like to start off by making mention of one beauty of the Quran and then take it on from there with regard to it. The preservation of the Holy Quran. The preservation of the Holy Quran. Allah Ta'ala says, "Inna nahnu nazzalna dhikra wa inna lahu lahafizun." We have revealed the Quran, the reminder, and Allah Ta'ala says, "We will protect it." Allah has taken upon Himself the protection of the Holy Quran. In the ayat which I have recited is in Surah Qiyamah. Allah Ta'ala says, "La tuharrik bihi lisanaka lita'jala bih." When Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam used to receive wahi, Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam used to recite the verses together with Jibreel Alayhi Salatu Wasalam. For fear that it might not be lost, he might not forget it. So Allah Ta'ala revealed the ayat, "La tuharrik bihi lisanaka lita'jala bih." O Brother of Almighty Allah, don't read the Quran in haste for fear of forgetting. Inna alayna jam'ahu wa Qur'ana. Allah says, it is my responsibility to preserve and then for you to read the Quran. Inna alayna jam'ahu wa Qur'ana. Thumma inna alayna bayana. Not only my responsibility that you will read, but it is my responsibility that you would explain the Quranic message to the people. So Allah has taken it upon Himself to preserve the words and to preserve the meaning of the Quran, which is by and large in the hadith of Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, the sayings of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, because the hadith explains the Quran and the revelation that came from Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now Allah Ta'ala has got various ways with regard to the preservation of the Quran. One of the ways is through the means of the Hafiz. The Hafiz, today, even if some enemy, you know, we won't be able to do it, but even if he wants to burn all the Mus'haf is the printed version of the Holy Quran. Even if he wants to do that, he would not be able to obliterate the Quran because it is protected by safety vaults. And that is the heart of the Hafiz who has preserved the words of the Holy Quran. Then the Qari preserves the proper pronunciation, the ulama preserve the proper meaning. So Allah has taken upon himself through the means of the ayat which I have recited to preserve the words and also to preserve together with the words, also to preserve the meaning of the Holy Quran. This is a great ni'mat for us, my dear respected brothers. And can you imagine? There is no language, and the language of Arabic is a very rich language. And one of its richness is because of the Quran. But you see, when you read the Arabic language, we call what is known as makhraj, the tajweed, the rules of tajweed. Is there any language in the world? There is perhaps no language in the world where there is an entire science on the proper pronunciation of the alphabet of that language. There is no language. But here we got the ilmi tajweed, which is only there. What is the word tajweed? It's only there to protect the proper pronunciation of the words of the Quran. Subhanallah. And it is that, it's part of the preservation. When we were small, we had a ustad who came from Bangladesh, Qari Lutfur Rahman. He used to teach us tajweed, and he used to teach us the makhraj. Now, every word that is there, alif, ba, ta, tha, tal, da, tal, ya, he used to teach us that pronounce it properly, and he had a formula for you to pronounce every word properly. And we used to read this. Somehow or the other, it sticks in my mind. He used to say, read, baba limu ba, baba limu, baba limu, baba wa mubaba. Bani buni bikar, babul minal, babu bi. It means nothing. It's only to pronounce the word ba correctly. When you finish that, he said, now start over the next word. Tatali muta, in the same way till the end. Now, can you imagine, is there any language in the world where even you pronounce the makhraj? Read ba like this, read ta like this, read tha like that. Allah Ta'ala has preserved the Quran in such a way. Now, what is the meaning and what is the benefit with regard to the preservation of the Holy Quran in this way? One is that amongst the things is when you make tilawat of the Holy Quran, when you're reading the Quran, now you know exactly you are reading what Allah has spoken. So it is not an ordinary word. Many times people come up with this unfounded, you know, criticism and unfounded objection. Well, why should we read the Quran like parrot fashion? Yes, you'd no use reading other book which you don't understand in a parrot fashion. But this is not an ordinary book. This is, in fact, together with it being a book, is the kalam of Allah, the speech of Allah. When we say the speech of Allah, every quality of Allah Ta'ala remains attached with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, has been and will remain attached with Allah Ta'ala forever and ever. So it means Quran has always been part of the speech of Allah. So you are reading what Allah Ta'ala has recited. You are reading what has been part and parcel of Allah Ta'ala's being and the quality of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So you're not reading an ordinary book. You are reading the speech of Allah. So when you read the speech of Allah, can you imagine the blessings with regard to it? You know, that is why Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam had said, "Man qara al Quran, man qara harfam min al Quran, whoever reads a letter of the Holy Quran, not even a word, whoever reads a letter of the Holy Quran, for every letter he gets 10 rewards." I don't say in the word alif lam mim, alif is a word, alif is a letter, and therefore in alif lam mim you get 30, and for reading alif you get 10 rewards, and then so every particular word it's multiplied 10 times. So look at the beauty of that. Therefore, Nabi Karim sallallahu alaihi wasallam had said, "Alayka bi tilawatil Quran." It's compulsory upon you to make tilawat. Tilawat means to read. فَإِنَّهُ نُورٌ لَكَ فِي الدُّنْيَا وَذُخْرٌ لَكَ فِي الْآخِرَةِ. Because it is nur for you in this world, and it is provision for you in the hereafter. In reading, it is part and parcel of our responsibility that we should try and recite it correctly. Allah Ta'ala says, "Warattilil Qur'ana tartila." Read the Quran correctly. And really, you can read the Quran correctly in 1 month. In 1 month, you can read the Quran. There are 29 letters in the Arabic language. Go to an ustad and tell you every day, teach me one letter, how to pronounce it. You have known how to read the Holy Quran in 1 month. Yes, there are other particular type of also commands, but that forms the basis. Right? So read the Quran. Why you read it? Because it is a kalam of Allah. It is a speech of Allah. Allah will reward you. Allah will bless you. Another aspect with regard to it, we can't only remain at that. You know, part of the preservation has been that the Quran has always remained relevant. Part of it been preserved because it is preserved. Now look at all other scriptures. Because it has not been preserved, you always doubt. Can this be correct? If I'm reading this, even if it looks and seems right, but because you don't have the guarantee of its preservation, there are always question marks with regard to it. When there are question marks with regard to it, it cannot serve as an inspiration to you. Now, unlike this particular aspect with regard to other scriptures, look at our scripture. That which remained and was a source of inspiration for the Sahaba is still there in the books, in the Mus'haf, in the Quran. The way they were inspired, the source of inspiration is still there for us till the day of Qiyamah. Now, part of it being relevant, today when we look at talk of relevancy, then people today like to talk and like to make mention with regard to the fact that in terms of contemporary nature, the Quran has spoken about scientific matters in such a way that 1400 years ago could not have been thought about, but it has been proven true today. Many years ago, when I started here in Newtown Masjid in the early 80s, in the mid-80s, there was a debate here at the Johannesburg City Hall between Ahmad Didat, or Marhum, and a person by the name of Gary Miller. So we went to listen to him. Gary Miller was a Christian at that particular time, but the way he spoke about the Quran, while he had reservation because of being not from the Islamic faith, but he also spoke about certain aspects of beauty in the Quran. And I found it amazing, a person who was supposed to debate from the Christian faith, yet he is speaking beautiful aspects about the Quran. In fact, one Christian woman even asked him and said, you were supposed to stand up on behalf of Christianity, and yet you are speaking about some of the beauty aspects of the Quran. But I found it quite surprising and quite amazing at that time. Many years thereafter, I picked up a book, Al-Quran, The Ultimate Miracle, written by Gary Miller, who has now changed his name to Abdul Ahad. He had become a Muslim. And it makes for fascinating reading. Because he brings out this aspect. In terms of anyone who wants to learn about how the Quran has spoken about matters with regard to science and it has been proven true. It's a small read but very beautifully written. And there are very beautiful incidents in there. Once he said, a Canadian professor was called to Saudi Arabia to speak about embryology because that was his field of expertise. When he spoke about, embryology and he brought it, one person told him that's what the Quran says about embryology. He actually was quite surprised and he said that what the Quran spoke about is something that people in this field only came to know 20 years ago. And yet the Quran has spoken about it so much, so long ago. Then the Quran makes mention of one phase of human development and gives an example of it like a leech-like clot. So he found it very amazing. He went to do an X-ray about it. And when he saw the X-ray and he showed it, it was exactly how the Quran had said about a leech. And this was part of, he makes mention with regard to it. Another aspect that he makes mention, he says that the Quran had said in the Holy Quran in the 19th Supara, Allah Ta'ala speaks about, two great masses of water. هَذَا عَذْبٌ فُرَاتٌ وَهَذَا مَلْحٌ عَجَاجٌ وَجَعَلَ بَيْنَهُمَا بَرْزَخًا وَحِجْرًا مَعْجُورًا. Two great masses of water. There is no physical barrier between the two. One is sweet, one is salty. But, there is no barrier. There is no something saying that sweet water, you remain this side, salty water, you remain this side. But there is no barrier. They integrate, they amalgamate, but yet the sweet water remains sweet and the salty water remains salty. And not only does it happen in the convergence between the river and the ocean, but it also happens right in the depth of the ocean. Sometimes there are bubbles of sweet water right in the midst of the ocean. And in that bubble, that water remains sweet even if it is surrounded by an entire mess of salty water. Someone made mention of it to Jacques Cousteau, who was supposed to be one of the greatest oceanographers, who had photographed under the ocean. And when he said this, he said, I find this to be amazing. A Muslim told him that Allah Ta'ala has made mention of it in the Quran. Now, Allahu A'lam, Jacques Cousteau passed away several years back, but mention is also made that this made him turn into a Muslim, Wallahu A'lam. If he did, it is to his benefit. But it just shows you with regard to the relevance of the Quran, because it is a kalam of Allah, and because it has been preserved. Now, that is one aspect with regard to the benefits of its preservation. The other benefit is, because it is preserved, we know 100%. What Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam read, is what we are reading. What the Sahaba read, is what we are reading. And the third benefit of its preservation, and I think this is something that you and I, we don't pay sufficient attention towards. Brothers, we all know that we cannot only remain at tilawat. Tilawat is very important, there's no doubt. I made mention with regard to it. But we also have to make an effort to understand in the correct manner and to make amal upon what the Quran has said, what Allah Ta'ala is telling us. Allah Ta'ala's message is contained in the Quran. Allah doesn't only want you to read, Allah Ta'ala also wants you to understand it. Now yes, there are certain ulama who tell us and caution us with regard to understanding. It's not a condemnation of understanding, but it is a precaution to understand it correctly. There's a great difference in the two. One is that we condemn, you must not understand the Quran. No one can ever say such a thing. The Quran is there to be understood, is there to be a practice upon. The only thing is, don't bring your own personal whims and fancies into interpreting the Quran according to your desires. And this is the reality. أَفَرَأَيْتَ مَنِ اتَّخَذَ إِلَهُ هَوَى. Have you seen those who made their desires their Lord? Allah Ta'ala tells us that we are living in an age where today a person will try to justify his desires at all cost. Now if a person tries and justify his desires through the Quran, he's going to make a mockery of the Quran. That is why the ulama say, don't understand it from your mind. Don't understand it from your whims and fancies and your desires. Understand it what Allah Ta'ala wants to tell you. Then you change your life according to that message. Don't try and change the Quran according to your desires, because then you are going to make a mockery. So therefore, this particular aspect of understanding and making amal, that is what the Quran has been revealed for. Understand it correctly. Not from your own perspective, not from your own whims and desire. And today Allah Ta'ala has made it easy. There are ulama who are prepared to tell us what the meaning of the ayat is. There are tafsirs that have been written, which have been simplified with proper translation and commentary. Like the tafsir of Ma'riful Quran of Mufti Shafi Sahib, translated into English by Mufti Taqi, amongst many. In fact, Maulana Bin Nur Rahmatullah Ali, the profounder of our madrasa in Karachi, in his Ma'riful Sunan has written that according to his estimate, that particular time, which was some a decade or so back, or maybe more than that, there are 200,000 tafsir of the Quran that has been written. 200,000. There is no kitab in the history of humankind that there have been 200,000 tafsir written on this particular kitab. It shows you the beauty. But then together, my dear respected brothers, after trying to understand, is to make amal upon it. And you see, one of the reasons is, in the benefit of preservation is, that which transformed the Sahaba, today it is there to inspire us, if only we can take the trouble to try and be inspired. So we read, as Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu was an arch enemy of Islam. He even went out to assassinate Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Thereafter he came and he saw his sister reading the Quran. And he started first, he beat up his sister. And then he said, let me read the Quran. What were you reading? They said, no, you have to make wudu. And when he made wudu and he read the first page of Surah Taha. When he came to the ayat, إِنَّنِي أَنَ اللَّهُ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا أَنَا فَعَبُدْنِي. I am your Lord, there is no one worthy of worship besides me, says Allah. وَأَقِمِ الصَّلَاةَ لِذِكْرِي. Perform salat for my remembrance. Brothers, that which changed the life of Umar has been preserved for us to be inspired today also. It's there. Why haven't we been inspired? So we find this example. One Sahabi came and he saw Nabi Karim sallallahu alaihi wasallam reciting an ayat. And he was told that don't go near Muhammad. Muhammad is going to change you from the religion of your forefathers. He said, no, why? I got a proper understanding. He went to Nabi Karim sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and Nabi Karim sallallahu alaihi wasallam was reciting this ayat. إن الله يأمر بالعدل والإحسان وإيتاء ذي القربى وينهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر والبغي. It transformed his life. Allah commands you to do justice. Allah Ta'ala commands you to do good. إن الله يأمر بالعدل والإحسان, and to be good to your relatives. And Allah Ta'ala prevents you from evil, from immorality, from promiscuity. That one ayat which changed his life is there today for us to be inspired. Hazrat Jubair bin Mutim came to Madinah Munawwara. He came to ransom one of his family members who had taken captive in Badr. He came, it was the time of Maghrib. And when he came at the time of Maghrib, Nabi Karim sallallahu alaihi wasallam was reading Wattur. When he came to the ayat, Inna adhaba rabbika lawaqi'. The adhab of Allah will come upon the evildoers. He stood transfixed. Inna adhaba rabb. It said the way Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam read it, I felt as if the adhab is going to come now upon me. That changed my life. That which changed his life is today available for us to be same way, change our life. Fuzail ibn Ayaz, rahmatullah alayh. I'm just giving you a few examples. Fuzail ibn Ayaz was what we will call the gangster of the time. He used to be so notorious with regard to it that when he used to come into a village, people used to clear the village. By Fuzail has come, he is so notorious. Allow him to take what he wants. Don't resist him. You can't resist him. He is too powerful. One day he went to a village. He saw one small child, one small house he did not vacate. He got angry. Pride. They actually want to resist me? He burst into the house. And there was a young child reading an ayat of the Quran. أَلَمْ يَعْنِنِ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا أَن تَخْشَعَ قُلُوبُهُمْ لِذِكْرِ اللَّهِ. Has the time not come for believers to start fearing Allah? How long are you going to resist? And how long are you going to rebel against Allah? That changed his life. Brothers, what I'm saying about the preservation, amongst, as I said, I only took one aspect of the Quran. You can talk about many other aspects of the Quran. But when the Quran has been preserved, it has so many benefits. Amongst the benefits, that when we read, we are reading what Allah Ta'ala recited, what Allah Ta'ala revealed to Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, what Nabi Akrim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam recited in Islam, we are reading. Why? Because of the preservation. Because of the preservation, it remains relevant. Because of the preservation, that which inspired the previous people is there to inspire us. Now, my dear respected brothers, let us take a firm resolve that this in particular, in this Ramadan, we are going to, inshallah, increase our attachment to the Holy Quran. Whether it be through reading, whether it be through tilawat, whether it be trying to understand the message of the Quran and trying to make amal upon what Allah Ta'ala is telling us. In one hadith, Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala says, in the last words of the hadith with which I will conclude today, he said, "Man qala bihi sadaq." He who says what the Quran has said, he has spoken the truth. وَمَنْ عَمِلَ بِهِ أُجِرْ. He who practices upon the precepts of the Holy Quran, he will be rewarded by Allah. وَمَنْ حَكَمَ بِهِ عَدَلْ. He who decides upon a matter according to the Quran, he has decided upon justice. وَمَنْ دَعَى إِلَيْهِ هُدِيَ إِلَىٰ صِرَاطٍ مُسْتَقِيمٍ. And he who calls upon the Holy Quran has called upon the straight path. May Allah give us the tawfiq of understanding and making amal. وَآخِرُ دَعْوَانَ عَلَى الْحَمْدُ لِلَّهِ رَبِّ